right, let's go ahead and get started this morning. Good morning, everybody. Come on in. Go ahead and take your seats. We'll get started on today's message. I'm excited for today and getting going on today's message. Here we go. We've been going through what we titled it was relationship status. Hashtag, we're trying to be just play off of social media. First one, I just want to say welcome. It's fun to be with you here this morning. I'm excited to talk about, you know, what God's Word has to say about marriage. I'm looking forward to that. But with this series, it's a four-part series. As you know, Bob started off talking about unmarried and what it's like to walk with the Lord and good biblical principles on walking with the Lord when you're unmarried and how to negotiate those waters. And then last week, I talked about what typically we had. It was really about our new base camp, about church membership, about being part of the body of Christ. And it was hashtag church family. So that was the relationship that we talked about last week. And today, hashtag married. So what I want to do is talk about married today. We're going to talk about marriage today. Now, maybe you might say, well, I'm single, and what do I have to learn from this? A lot. It's always good to study before the exam, believe me. It's important to learn and glean all that we can all along this way, this walk of life. So I just really encourage you to lock in and listen to what God might have for you personally in this series. So this morning it will be on marriage. I'm looking forward to that. Here's a good quote that I like. I'm still just so excited about that Galatians series too. So I want you guys to know that's coming down the pike. After this four-part series, in 2 weeks we'll dig into the Bible. But for this 4 weeks, we decided, you know, to do this topical for our church, just kind of the family, different relationships that we're a part of. And that's important, these topical studies for our walk with the Lord. I like this quote from Martin Luther. It says, "There is no more lovely, friendly, or charming relationship, communion, or company than a good marriage." And I appreciate that quote. I'm living it out. I agree with that. It's so true. Here's a picture of my lovely bride and me coming down the aisle all those years ago. We didn't know Jesus when we got married. And the slide on the right there, that's my good friend Bob Macbeth. He baptized me that day. And then after that, I baptized Jeannie. God was so kind to save both Jeannie and I at the same time. We came to know the Lord actually after 10 years of marriage. So not till we were 10 years into it did God grab a hold of our hearts. So we had a huge learning curve to go through, to go from the marriage we had to a godly marriage that is really so much better. And I'm so thankful for God doing that. He knew exactly what we needed. And I'm just blessed. I am just so blessed and thankful. I've learned some things along the way, and I trust God will help me communicate those to you today. I think we've really learned some things that have really helped Jeannie and I in our marriage. We have three children, a little bit older, and I apologize, Kelsey and Caleb. This picture's a little dated, but Kelsey and Caleb have their two boys. We have two grandkids, and my son, Colin, in the middle there, and my daughter, Brenna, is our youngest child. They're all at least 21 and older now, and really serving the Lord and trying to figure out things on their own now. But I just want to get a picture of our family, and God's really, really helped us along the way. We have leaned on Him. We're trusting in God that He will continue to help us as well. And I'm excited for what He has done, what He's doing now, and what He'll do in the future. That's our God. He loves. He wants the full life for all of you, for all of us. He wants us to step in the full life that is just so, so beautiful. I like this verse from Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Again, quoting the Old Testament, "A man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one." So what I really want to kind of talk about is that oneness, and I hope to give just some practicals in that day-to-day living out as in oneness as well today. So that's what we're going to focus on this morning. I'm going to pray one more time. I would ask you to pray with me. Let's just pray and ask God to help us, because my goodness, we need his help. So Lord, I just pray to you. I love you. I do, and I just come to you and say, Lord, we need you this morning. We just ask for your help. I thank you for all that you're doing in each and every one of our lives, Lord. We're all involved in relationships, whatever place you might have us, Lord. But this morning, our relationship with you is what we want to highlight. We want to hear from you, God. We want you to teach us. We don't want to hear from the world. We want to hear from you, Lord. So this morning, pray you'd help me with these next few moments just to lead and guide and speak what you'd want me to speak. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Here's a good quote from Max Lucado. It says, God created marriage. No government subcommittee envisioned it. No social organization developed it. Marriage was conceived and born in the mind of God. And at this church, we would agree with that without a doubt. In our statement of faith, if you go to our website, in our statement of faith, what we believe, what we aspire to as a church, you'll find when describing marriage, gender, and sexuality, this is what you'll find. So I just want to read this to you. In this today's culture, it's important to know where you stand, where we stand as a church. It's important for you to build your own convictions and understand them and be able to speak them out. So this is what we have. This is our statement of faith about marriage, gender, and sexuality. Though he is gracious, God is also holy, and we believe that God wonderfully and immutably creates each person as male or female. These two distinct complementary genders together reflect the image and nature of God. We believe that the term marriage has only one meaning, the uniting of one man and one woman in a single exclusive union as delineated in Scripture. We believe that God intends sexual intimacy to occur only between a man and a woman who are biblically married to each other. We believe that outside of this, any form of sexual activity, including adultery, fornication, homosexual behavior, bisexual conduct, bestiality, incest, and the use of pornography, is sinful and offensive to God. That's what we believe, as following the Bible. We also believe that God offers redemption and restoration to all who confess and forsake their sin, seeking his mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We believe that every person must be afforded compassion, love, kindness, respect, and dignity. Hateful and harassing behavior or attitudes directed toward any individual are to be repudiated and are not in accord with Scriptures nor the doctrines of the Rock Church. So with that being said, I want you to understand at the church what we believe the definition of marriage is: a man and a woman with a covenant, one man, one woman, in a marital covenant before God. And inside that is what we're going to be talking about today. So I just want to make that straight. That's what I'm talking about, a man and a woman in a marriage covenant today. That's what I'm going to talk about. Those are the practical things that we're going to talk about. And certainly there's attack on that in the world that we live in today. But that's what we believe that was God's design, and that's what I want to talk about today. Just three marriage essentials. That's what I talk about. Just three things that I've learned over the years and I think are just paramount, just really important, and they're not that complicated. It's just walking in them that can sometimes be challenging. Even if you find yourself on a deserted island with just you and your honey, all right? Even if you dream of genie like I do, even if you find yourself on a deserted island and you don't have to worry about the rest of the world, you don't have to anything, you don't have computer, you don't have anything else, even if you're in the perfect environment for a marriage, you need these essentials. I don't care where you're at. You think you got it figured out, or you've been doing this long enough to where you're just going to keep gutting it out. No, I think that we can all learn for sure from these essentials. And the first one is put God first. Again, it seems elementary, and it is, but it's so, we seem to be challenged right in this area. But could I challenge you this morning to put God first? I see marriages all over the place where they don't have the spiritual component of God leading the marriage, and they're just missing out. As it is more than frosting on the cake. It is the glue that holds a marriage together. Put God first. When Jesus was challenged and asked by the Pharisees, what's the most important thing, Jesus? What do we really need to know? Just tell us the most important thing. And of course, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, we hear his response. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's just a foundational verse from the Bible. This is it. And when two believers strive to obey this, marriage happens according to God. And we can just fly by this. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all that your strength. That's everything. That means priority, bam. God takes priority. And we say, well, I can't do that on my own. That's right. You need God to help you. You need to go to him. Go to him. Go to him. Help me, God. Help me in this. Help me love you with all my strength. What exactly does that mean? All my soul, all my mind. Order my thoughts so they're more ordered to you, so that I'm following you and not the world. My goodness, we need to cry out to God. Ask, help me. Help me here. There's been so many times in my marriage where I was just at that place. Help me. I'm so confused. I'm so angry. I'm so blinded by this, whatever it is. Help me. And God does. He comes through every single time. And so, but I think often people don't understand there's a spiritual side of marriage that, oh my, I hope you're not missing out on that. There is another level of marriage that God has for us. And that's why I encourage people, oftentimes people will come to me and say, well, I'm attracted to this young man or this young woman. And I'll ask them, well, are they a believer? Do they know the Lord? They say, no, but they're really cute, and I like hanging out with them. Well, you know, the Bible is clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, not to be unequally yoked. And I have many friends, maybe you're one that came to the Lord later in life like me, and maybe your spouse has not yet. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you can't take that next step in that spiritual marriage because one of you is a believer and one's not. That's why we emphasize so much, if you're attracted to someone, that, my goodness, wouldn't it make sense that they would share your faith, that you would be equally yoked in Christ so that you could bring that into your marriage? That's just so, so critical, so important. You don't want to be unequally yoked. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, when he's writing to the church in Corinth, there was just it was falling apart. Lots of things were going on, sin all over the place. And he said, but I'm afraid, what was really on his heart, what he was really concerned about, is, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Paul said, I'm so concerned that you might be led astray from the pure and simple devotion to Christ. That's so important. That's a leg to stand on every day. That's something that every single day, that pure and simple devotion to Christ, you put that in place first. You know, after 10 years of marriage for me, when I was married for 10 years, we didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I didn't know Jesus. My wife didn't know Jesus, and it was it was a crazy marriage. It was hard. There were sparks. It was difficult. Apart from Christ, we didn't have that spiritual element. We didn't have pure and simple devotion. We didn't know God. So we were gutting it out in the world's ways. There's plenty of books at the library that have counsel on how to do marriage. God created marriage. I just didn't go to the source, something I can depend on. And then, you know, in the last 20 years, God has repaired, rebuilt, and reinvented my marriage personally. Now, I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about me. I've walked in it. I've seen it. God took all my little bad habits and Jeannie's bad habits, and he's still at work without a doubt. I mean, there's much to do, but he has done so much. And I've witnessed that. I've seen that. I've seen what God can do. Because before we came to know Christ, we were contemplating divorce. We felt that was the end of the road. We couldn't handle it. We couldn't be in the same house together. There was too much anger, too much frustration. Well, God came in, and I'm so thankful that God saved us at the same time, really the same day. What a kind Lord we have to do that. He knew that I needed that. He knew that my wife needed that. And then for him, you know, there's a pure and simple devotion. Largely how he's restored and reinvented and rebuilt, it's pure and simple devotion. You can find me or my wife every single morning pursuing God. My wife, she has her own walk with the Lord. So ladies, oh my goodness, so you know how to bless your marriage? You know how to really bring something into your marriage? Pour into your relationship with Jesus. Because I know when hard things come, and they do, my wife won't fall apart. Her faith will help carry her. Even no matter how hard it is, I know she'll be all right, and I can count on that. And she knows, you know, me, even with all of my faults and whatnot, she knows that I love Jesus. So at the end of the day, no matter what the argument is, no matter what the difference of opinion is, at the end of the day, she knows I love the Lord. And boy, that brings her security. Okay, it's going to be all right. You know, he's got a crazy idea this time, but I know he loves the Lord, and I know God will direct him. And I know he'll seek counsel, and if he's doing something crazy, God doesn't hold back on his followers either. He'll straighten me out. So it's been such a blessing for us. Simple, pure and simple devotion every day. It's a lifestyle. I'm so thankful for it. I don't know if you've ever seen the marriage triangle. I like this illustration. You have a husband and a wife. Certainly, where you get married and you have this covenantal marriage, and you have God at the center of it. And as you go up and grow more in your relationship with God, if each one of you grows, you look over and you're closer to each other. The closer you get to God, the closer you are to each other. And I see it all the time. There's a blog site called Amazing Life Together. I don't know all that much about it, but I did read about a couple on this blog site that I thought would be a good illustration today. What their kind of their goal is, they photograph anniversary sessions and from couples around the country, and they ask them a few questions about marriage, and they ask them advice about what works for you or what doesn't work for you, and they take pictures of them. And one of the first stories they found was this sweet little couple that I'm gonna talk about. They've been married for 61 years. When they saw the photos of Ruby and Harold, they immediately knew that they needed to feature them on their site. So without further ado, here's Ruby and Harold. And after learning a little bit about them, I was just kind of blessed. Really kind of a simple illustration of just what marriage can be. They would ask a number of questions, and here's some of the questions that they asked Ruby and Harold, who've been married over 61 years, and they have had 5 kids. And here's the first question: what is your favorite thing about marriage? So they asked Ruby and Harold this, and this is their responses. Ruby, with a big laugh, being married to Harold. That was her response. And Harold, doing things together, working together. So those are their favorite things about marriage. It says, what advice do you have for other couples? And here's Ruby's response. Make sure you're in love, because this is a lifetime commitment. And Harold, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. The things this is talking about, you'll see in the verses before this. What will you eat or drink, or what will you wear? As long as you seek God first, you won't have to worry about these things. God will provide. I appreciate that response from Harold. The next question they had was, what was the biggest challenge you faced in marriage, and how did you overcome it? Ruby said, we never faced any real challenges. We just did what needed to be done, so we never had to overcome anything. Harold, we never had any big challenges, but I would advise anyone who does to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Harold's advice. And the last question that I added here was, our marriage is amazing because, and Ruby's response, I'm married to a loving and godly man. And Harold's was, even after 62 years together, every year draws us closer together than ever before. Every morning I'm greeted with a hug and a kiss, and when I come into the kitchen, I get a cup of coffee. Gosh, you know, it really doesn't have to be that complicated. the Lord kind of spells out, and when his power is in it, it really doesn't have to be all that complicated and a mind game. God has good plans for us, and he wants the best for us. I just want to highlight this cute little couple. The couple verses that Harold shared are a couple of my life verses. That's kind of why I was attracted to that too. I love Matthew 6:33, but seek the kingdom of God. In your marriage, seek the kingdom of God. What things are you doing when you do things, when you make decisions? Are they for the kingdom? Did they draw you closer to God in your relationship? That's where we need to go. And his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Seek God first. And I like the Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6, another life verses of mine. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Just good, solid, foundational verses that Harold shared. And I believe God is really helping them have an amazing marriage 62 years later. That's so cool. I like this quote by Thomas Adams that says, as God by creation made two of one, so again by marriage he made one of two. There's a oneness that God provides for us. It's sealed in covenantal marriage, in covenant marriage. We go before witnesses and we get married. When I oversee a wedding, I see that covenant. I see the bride and groom. They promise God. God, this is what I'm going to do for all my days. I'm going to try to love this woman for all my life. I'm committed to her. I'm not going to cheat on her. I'm not going anywhere else. In sickness and health, she's the one. Same with the woman. We make this, and really, it's not a really, for me, it's not a government thing. It's a promise to God. God, you do it. I'm going to do all I can, but I need your help. You hold it together. I'm going to promise you, I'm going to try to follow through, but boy, I can't do it without you. That's the covenant marriage. That means I'm not turning. I'm not going out. I'm not leaving. I'm not. That's not an option. We're not even going to use the D word. We're not going to talk about divorce. This is a commitment before God for the distance. And yeah, there will be hard times and there'll be difficulties, but that oneness that God provides, that helps us work through our differences. And the next one, so we put God first and learn how to resolve conflict. Here's the deal. You're going to have some conflict. All right, you're not going to go around. There's going to be times where you're going to have disagreements, and there's going to be conflict. And you can certainly try to avoid it. That's important, but I'm just saying. It's a good idea to learn a healthy pattern of resolution, a healthy pattern of resolving your differences. And really, at the core of that, oftentimes, it's listening closely to each other. Act on what you hear. You need to hear each other. Oftentimes, our arguments are so heated that we don't hear anything. It's like Charlie Brown. Oh, wah, 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 wah. You just look at each other with that dazed look in your eyes. But there comes a time where we really need to have that healthy listening and act in what we hear. My wife is really good about listening to me. Just the other night, I just had mentioned I like jalapeno poppers, you know, jalapenos with cream cheese and prosciutto around it. So we've made them together for several times already this year, and I have jalapenos coming out my ears, so we're going to have a movie night Friday night. I said, well, let's do it again. And ultimately, I was just kind of kidding. Let's just have poppers again. You know, the easy thing would have been to get licorice and popcorn because that's what you have at movies. We're having movies. But I didn't even think she took me serious. But I came back later in the day, and she was making them. She didn't have to do that. There's certain things. My wife, one of her love languages is acts of service. So when she wants something fixed around the house, I am the handyman. when I try to listen to her when she's talking to me, and she says, boy, it'd be nice if that door handle worked better, or if this or that worked better, and I try to jump on that. It seems silly, but it's one of her love languages. That speaks to my wife. Why wouldn't I do that? I want to learn more about her. I want to get better at that. I want to do things that fill up her love tank and vice versa. There's just little things that we can do to help each other along the way. And really, it even helps us in conflict because we're more at this place of agreement. And when she says no to something, she means it. Especially when I was a younger man, before I knew Jesus, I liked to tease her all the time and pick on her and say, no, don't do that. And I did it even more. It's just, I don't know if just a little boy, a little naughty boy in me or what, but I would just continue to do it. But oftentimes she said, honey, I would rather you did not do that. She means that. Do we hear that? Please don't do that. You know, there's certain things that Jeannie and I do that as I get older, I realize, man, why wouldn't I just listen to her and not do that? It seems silly, but oftentimes we miss the mark. Some of these quotes, at least the first 10 years of my marriage, in marriage there are three rings, the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffer ring. And it seemed like it in the first 10 years apart from Christ for me, but ultimately this is kind of what the world, the picture that's painted for us. Are you sure you want to get married? Man, the suffering with that. Marriage can be beautiful. It's God's intention. It's so beautiful, so good. G.K. Chesterton said, marriage is an adventure, like going to war. We're so different. We're wired so different. Another good verse, just, you know, we don't have a whole lot of verses we need today. There's just a few that are just really incredible. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. This is just a practical thing. Do not let the sun go down on your arguments. Don't hold things in. It's so important when you have arguments, and you will. We're so different. But to do the best you can, I realize sometimes we run out of daylight and you got to go to sleep. But for the most part, this was just an elementary thing that my wife and I really worked on. So we went from holding grudges for a week, 2 weeks, a month, to working it out in an hour. It's so important because what happens too, if there's offenses, and in the marriage things that just keep building up and building up and building up and building up, and you're not dealing with them, then you can't hardly even communicate with each other because there's this unresolved conflict. There's unforgiveness. There's this root of bitterness that just is like bad breath. You can't work through it. And when the beautiful thing about forgiveness and putting stuff out on the table and just getting it over with, it's like an infection. It's like getting the pus out of an infection. It just releases it. So if you can get that before the sun goes down, just, you know, and then the next day is a new day. And you're not dragging around this bag of stuff that happened 10 years ago in my previous situation. No, yeah, work through today's problems today. And that's just it really blessed me. Here's a Relevant magazine. There's five biggest areas of conflict that I thought was kind of interesting that they highlighted. Five biggest areas of conflict, and I think most of us would agree. First, I have a little quote from there they are. Five biggest areas of conflict: money, sex, work, children, and chores. I guess we could probably agree with that. And I just want to touch on a couple of these. Here's the Zig Ziglar quote: many marriages would be better if the husband and wife clearly understood that they are on the same side. You both want what's best. You're on the same side. You know, hopefully you have the common vision. You share the same place. You same ideas. You both want the same thing. You're talking that through. You've got a plan. You're both striving towards that, whether it's raising children or your finances or whatever it might be. You know, Jeannie and I are so different. We are, you know, when I'm driving a car and there's a rainstorm, we did this the other day. We're going up the canyon and it was raining. And I'll put the wipers on like, and it just drives her crazy. She wants the wipers on constantly. She's like, why wouldn't you want to see? I said, I can see. I don't like the wipers going back and forth. They're noisy, and it just gets in the way of my vision. She reaches over and cranks it up. Why wouldn't you want to see? We're gonna crash, you know? And I thought, well, you're right, but I kind of like them just like this. You know, it just makes more sense to me. And there's just so many little things like that, like broken eggshells in the carton. There's some reason I have a hard time with, once you use an egg, about putting a shell back in the carton. And time and time we talk about this and say, honey, you know, I don't like the broken eggshells in the carton, because I've had friends that have been sick before from egg stuff. And she's like, oh, that's not going to happen. But that's just one of those things where, just put the eggshells in the trash. Just let the windshield wiper go. You know, I need to hear her. And those little things over time are huge. You know, why would we irritate each other? Why would you say no? Sometimes, back in the day, I used to do it more if she'd say no. Don't do that to me. This is stupid, guys. Don't do that. Bless your wife. She tells you something, she doesn't like something, she means it. Guys, it goes both ways too, men and women. We need to hear each other and do more than just hear each other, but respond. So let's look at these areas real quickly. Money. There's a few verses that I just kind of put with this. So the five areas of conflict, and money is certainly one of them. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You know, if you make God and money an idol, it'll mess up your marriage. And most of the time, money fights between couples, what I've found, it's rarely the money that's the issue. Usually there's underlying things that go much further and beyond than just the finances. But messed up finances, confused finances, they get in the way. And you just need to get a plan, a practical plan. I love the Dave Ramsey financial peace materials. Just get a plan for money, just to get your things in order. Just be men and women of integrity. Finances is really kind of it's a matter of an accounting and being accountable to what you have and not living beyond your means. I'm not going to go real deep into any of these. The next one is sex. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, it says, "But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise a wife to her husband." Apostle Paul goes on to say, "For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Sex is a gift from God. I like it. It's important. As your pastor, if you're married in a biblical marriage, I encourage you to have sex today. Preach it. I know some of you guys are saying, "Preach it, brother." It's a gift from God. It's not dirty. It's something God's gifted those of us that are married. And usually we get confused with volume is usually what the argument is. You know, back in the day, I used to think every day was a really good idea. And my wife would think, well, every 2 weeks. And we had to come to a place of agreement on that. We had to trust God. And there's just something about it. I know this might be PG-13, but God has gifted us in this area. And it adds to the marriage oneness. And when that has a good cadence, when there's an agreeable cadence between a husband and a wife, not selfish and not in a way that you use it to hold somebody ransom. Oh, if you do this, then you bet you come home tonight. No, there's a cadence. This is from the Lord. And it's healthy to have a good cadence. Again, the length of time between that cadence, a lot of people have studied that, and a lot of people have ideas on that. Well, clearly in Scripture, it says, do not withhold. It's very important. There's an important part of this physical interaction that we have as husband and wife that adds to the marriage. It's a gift from God. And when it becomes a point of contention, it's important you figure out what that point of contention is. It shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be difficult. It shouldn't be an argument. It's a gift from God. It's an enhancement. But it's only one of the propellers. If you think like a helicopter, it's only one of the propellers in this whole marriage thing. But if that one's broken, you're probably not going to get off the ground. It's just important as resolving conflict and all these other things that God has for us. Sex appeal alone is the poorest basis in the world for a happy marriage. I agree with Mr. Rice on this, John Rice. Sex isn't going to hold your marriage together. Good sex, amazing sex. I give people counsel who have good sex and their marriages are trashed. It's that spiritual element, mentally, physically, spiritually. All the things that God gives us are components. But we get hung up on certain ones, don't we? Work. Sometimes work can get in the way. Work is good. God's gifted us with work. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." God gives us work. It's important to work hard as if working for the Lord. No matter what your job is. I'm working at it today and I'm working hard because God gave me the gift of diligence, so I'm wired to work. We are wired to work. Now, sometimes we might think, no, I don't want to work today. Well, I'm wired to work that day too, specifically that day. We're wired. But here's what happens. Oftentimes, careers are so alluring. So some careers are exciting. Even me, as your pastor, I'm consumed by my relationship with the Lord and leading this church. And sometimes that can move me in a place where I forget, oh, wait a minute, I'm a husband here too. I need that. That's an important role. I got to be a part of that. Or oftentimes, you know, when you have a job, whether you're the man or the woman, and you have this career job that's really hitting on all cylinders, you go to work and everybody says, "There's the boss. You got compliments. You're good at that. You're great." And then you get home and there's baby's crying, and you get home and it's like, "You're a loser, dude. Go change that diaper." And we say, "Well, of course, I'm going to work late tonight, honey. I just need to." They're demanding it of me. Now, that's not always the case, but oftentimes the career, you can say, "Oh, that I really like doing that," because we're passionate about it sometimes. Maybe you're a doctor and you love being a doctor. Well, and there's nothing wrong with that. God gave you that as well. But when He gives you this oneness of a spouse, that has to come before work. That has to come before your career. That's where we need to pour our time. God gave us that. That's important in our walk with Him before career. But oftentimes, work is where we have lots of different conflict. Children. I love this verse from Psalm. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." Children are amazing. I am so blessed, personally. And Caleb's going to teach you on this next week, hashtag married with children. So he'll go more in depth here. I just want to say that the mother-father relationship is a priority over the children. Now, you guys have always heard who came first, the chicken or the egg. Here, I'm going to kind of give you an illustration here. Came first, the chicken or the egg? I researched this a little bit because I wanted to have the right answer. The Bible's answer is, if you believe in the Bible, the chicken came first. And here's the verses from Genesis. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." So there we go. Genesis 1, verses 19 and 20. Chickens are a type of fowl, so the Christian Bible says that chickens came first. There we go. We settled that one. I know that's a big argument. The marriage came first. I knew Jeannie before my lovely children came along. God gave me the gift of my wife, so that has to take a priority. My children are pretty much out of the home now. Who's there now? Jeannie and I again. But oftentimes, children are hard work. Oh, my goodness. And we pour our life into it, pour 20 years of our life and raising these little guys and doing this and that. And so it becomes all-consuming, more than a career even. So Johnny needs this, Susie needs this, and we got a soccer game, and there's this health issue and that and this. And all of a sudden, more and more and more, there's mom over here doing this and dad over here doing this. Got to get back together. Husband and wife. Come before the children. And again, Caleb's going to talk more about parenting next week. I'm so excited for this parenting workshop. I've been through quite a few, and it helped me tremendously. So I really would challenge you to go if you haven't signed up yet. If you have kids, go. Please go to it. You'll be blessed by it. And chores. Galatians 5, verse 13. "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Let's face it. Most housework fights happen because somebody's keeping score. One husband or one of you is keeping score. I do more around here than you ever have. So we have this thing where, man, I've done so much more than you today. Are you still just sitting there watching that football game? Or whatever it might be, you get this keeping score, and it can be conflict. Here's my challenge, and it'll bless your marriage. Outserve your spouse. Do more with no expectations. Outserve them. You do more housework. You do more cooking. You do more cleaning up. You do more folding laundry. I'm talking to husband and wife. with never an expectation. If I do this, then things will go well with me. Just unselfishly serve, serve, serve. Serve again and serve again and serve again and never expect. That is your spouse. That is your God-given husband or wife. Part of your role as a spouse is to serve them and serve them. And if their health goes down, you may have to serve them in a wheelchair. You may have to serve them through really, 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 really hard things. And you're not going to want to serve them some days because they're going to get on your nerves. And they're like, serve yourself. Fight through that. Fight the flesh. And it will bless your marriage. Try to outserve one another. My final point, real quickly, love and respect one another. You know, Dennis Rainey wrote a book. This is the title. It was Love and Respect. And it was really good. I like it. I recommend it to couples all the time. Love and respect. And I just want to highlight the verse that really is the theme of their book. And it comes from Ephesians. I share this verse. I don't think I've performed a marriage. I've probably done 20 of them where I didn't use this verse. It's just the most important verse, I think, from Ephesians chapter 5, 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. God charges us, commands us to love our wives. God charges us, commands us to respect your husband. That's from the Lord. And we can get there's so many levels and layers of this. I know that a woman, and it goes both ways, men too, but a woman needs to feel loved. She needs to feel secure. She needs to feel like she's beautiful. She needs to feel like a princess. A woman needs to feel loved. And we need to work hard at this, men. Because we kind of take it for granted sometimes. A man needs to feel respect. He needs to feel like, you know, I've done this. I need to be respected. And I've seen this in a number of ways in my own life. I know my wife, Jeannie, she has a deep-seated hurt from when she was a little girl. And her dad would not listen to her. There's just some abusive patterns that were awful. And her father would not listen to her when she would try to speak. But dad, but. And he would just shut her down. He'd never listen to her. So she still has this thing. When I don't listen to her, where she doesn't feel like I'm really taking her thoughts into consideration, it's just really hard for her. And we've had this conversation. We've unearthed that hurt. We can look right at it. That didn't make it go away. It's still there. But because I studied that and I know that and I know her a little more intimately, I try to be a little more careful. As I get older, I get that more and more, that dumb, I don't know what you're talking about look on my face, but I'm trying to listen. And it's important to her. She feels loved when she tells me something. I take it into consideration and say, you know what, we might do that. That's a good idea. Why don't we do that? And she needs that. She needs to feel loved and secure, and then she knows what the next day is going to be all right. She knows things are going to be all right, so I can explain things to her. I'm a man of few words at times, and she needs more information than I'm willing to give at times. And respect. My parents were divorced when I was a little kid, so I was raised with four sisters, and my mom, I was raised around women all the time, and oftentimes they would talk down to me, poo-poo, you men are losers, what do you think? So I have this respect issue myself that's kind of a deep-seated hurt where I have this need to be respected. So if I have an idea and my wife says, you know, that's a dumb idea, it just crushes me. It's just hard for me to get around. And those are just things that we've learned about each other. And I would wager a guess that each and every one of you and all of you out there in video land watching this have something like that. Not only one, you probably have a whole grundle of them. We have things that we need to learn about each other to help us understand this huge part of marriage of love and respect. So just three things we talked about. Put God first. Learn how to resolve conflict. Just get good at it before the sun goes down. Learn how to resolve your conflict. It's just a bump on the road on the way to where you're going. Learn how to work through it. But you got to be putting God first for that to be hitting on all cylinders. Remember, that's the priority. Put God first. Learn how to resolve conflict and bring to the table love and respect. There's three really important, essential things for marriage. And if you're not married yet, man, you're ready now. Well, we'll talk about it. But God's so good. Marriage is his idea. You know, really, we could go in depth. I'm out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and stop. But marriage is really a picture of salvation, God's pursuit of us. It's just they use it as a metaphor in the Bible all over the place, this idea of marriage, because God gets it. He creates it. He knows it. So turn to him for your marriages. And I was out praying for you guys the other day, and I was thinking of all the marriages in this church. Not everyone's here, but I was just blessed just thinking of everybody and praying for you and your marriages. I'm so thankful for the marriages in this church. God's good. God is good, and he's at work. So I'll end in a prayer. We'll sing another song. Lord, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for my marriage. I thank you for the marriages in this church, Lord. I pray you continue to help us and direct us in this life that you've given us. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.